Love this podcast? Consider supporting this show. You decide how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Visit the link in the episode description to support now.
From the minds that brought you the smash hit podcasts, Your Life the Mixtape, and Headliners comes Your Life the Mixtape Magazine, a free, monthly digital magazine that focuses on music, culture, and social commentary on current news and events. Visit www.yourlifethemixtape.com to subscribe today.
Hello there, I want to take a moment to talk to you about Dear Dean magazine from Dear Dean Publishing, my favorite subscription only monthly digital magazine. It's got subscriber generated content about politics, pop culture, travel, family, pets, and poetry and wellness articles and features, contributor articles from nationally recognized journalists, writers, and artists, and provides opportunities for novice writers and authors and other contributors to share their voice, talents, and words. Did I mention that it's completely free? Dear Dean magazine provides free advert space for small creators, authors, and podcasters, fulfilling its vision that some art should always be free. It's owned and operated by Myron J. Clifton and is designed and distributed by Katya J. Lerner at Buzzword Consulting. Visit deardean.com/subscribe to get signed up.
You are now listening to Headliners, the show featuring the best and brightest in entertainment worldwide. Now here's your host, Greg Howard Jr.
My guest this week has shared the stage with the likes of Enrique Iglesias, LP, Maroon 5, and countless others. His third studio album, Between Two Worlds, is out right now for your listening pleasure. Please welcome the absolutely incredible Gustavo Galindo. Hello, sir.
Hello. How's it going?
It's fantastic now that you're here.
Oh, good.
So tell the listeners who may not be familiar with your music, what can they expect from Between Two Worlds?
Sure. So I'm Gustavo Galindo, and I'm a songwriter, and I've been writing songs since I was 10. And I've always, I was born in Mexico City, but I grew up in California. So my music is really kind of a combination of these two worlds, of Mexican and American folk music, pop music, and rock. Kind of all combined together into a style I like to call Chilangringo, which is Chilango is someone from Mexico City, and then Gringo is someone from the States. So I'm kind of I kind of coined that term for my own sound. So it's called Chilangringo music.
That. Talk me through the genesis of Between Two Worlds. How did this project come to be?
Sure. So I was living in Mexico City in around 2018, and I had recently met my now wife, partner, fiance, who I live here in California with. And she was down in Mexico City filming a project, and we met and fell in love. And then I started coming back to Los Angeles, and I was in the process of closing the cycle of my last album, Renacer, which was mostly in Spanish. And so in that process, I started moving back to California, and moving back to Los Angeles was always eye-opening, because, you know, you come back and you're like, oh, I wish I could be here again. And then the reality of living in Los Angeles is different. It's such like a different beast of a city than Mexico City. And so I had these kind of songs that were laying around, and I was like, well, might as well try and see what I put together. And next thing you know, like I had a kind of 11 new songs that were kind of about this transition between coming back to California, and also the transition of becoming a dad again to two little babies, and kind of everything that happened in between. So it's really interesting for me as coming into like as artist in midlife world, like what inspires me and what's interesting, because it's not the same as it was in my 20s, like with everything new, and then in the 30s with everything kind of being you know, having a little bit of experience. Like, this was a different album in my 40s, and writing about it from this point of view was very interesting.
What would you say has been the career highlight for you thus far?
I think my career highlight, it definitely comes from my first album, being nominated for a Grammy, was a really amazing experience. I definitely kind of pointed me in the right direction. It was kind of the sign I needed that like I was doing the right thing, and I was at the right place at the right time. And so it was definitely like a very beautiful moment. And I think it definitely eased my parents' minds about what I was doing.
So we're in this landscape now where it feels like anybody with an internet connection can put out music.
Yeah.
What is it that sets you apart from everybody else, do you think?
I think it's just the way I think that I express music. I feel like my music is very heartfelt music. Like, there's no, for me, it's just really hard to fake a feeling or to fake an emotion. And I'm just always kind of writing straight from that heartfelt place. And I think it really, there's something when you do that, when you're kind of aiming towards that goal of expressing music in that way, it can't help but kind of get people to either really connect, or kind of maybe look the other way. But I feel that like this is the best part of art, is like it shouldn't be for everyone, but it should be directed for a certain audience. And I think it definitely have like a sound that's very unique, and a sound that's very like original, but also at the same time kind of like something you've made of her before.
What is the best career advice that you've ever been given?
See, the best career advice I think I've ever been given, I believe, one is like a funny one. One's, I was working for my first album with this producer named Gustavo Santola. Yeah, he's kind of like the Rick Rubin in the Latin world. And we're in his studio, and just has so many guitars. And he's like, yeah, you can never have there's two things you can never have too much love in life. One is guitars, and the other is women. And I thought that was really interesting. That was a good, a fun one. And I think the other one is that I definitely would learn, I think it was like the one that's the golden ticket is consistency and hard work. Like, we'll always like take care of things in the end. I think there are a lot of really talented people out there, and I think some people rely on talent, and they kind of want to use that as opposed to just like putting in the work. So I think it, like, you know, learning how to put in the work is definitely the best advice I got.
Who's your dream collaboration?
Oh man, I have so many dreams. I think my number one dream collaboration would be to sing a song or to write with my hero, who's Cat Stevens. An amazing songwriter from the 70s, and he's still around today. And then a more kind of contemporary one, I really love this singer Jade Bird. She's coming out with kind of, I think she's from Australia, but I just really love the sound that she has. The songs were kind of on that same vine of very like on the like wearing our heart on our sleeve kind of songs. And I feel what I would really love to collab with her would be great.
Has your creative process changed at all since you got started in music?
Yeah, definitely. Before it was like you're just trying to figure out like what to do. So you're basically like banging your head against like anything that'll stick, and you're just trying to figure things out. And now as I'm older, like it definitely is like you're a lot more conscious of the creative process and a little more gentle with yourself from it. I think also like there isn't as much ego involved in a collaborative process, whereas before perhaps my younger self would feel more competitive to come up with the line or the right melody or like the thing. And now it's really kind of like being of service to the song.
If you could go back in time to the minute that you decided that you were gonna pursue music, knowing everything you know about the industry and gigging and all that, would you do anything differently?
Oh yeah, I think I would do differently for sure. I would definitely like, I think there's just something to be said for in this in entertainment world, like it's got to be an all or nothing thing. I feel like you, the universe, loves those kind of sacrifices. I definitely feel like I would have kind of probably gotten a little more in a little sooner, like sold my car and not have an apartment and just bought like a van and just toured and traveled in that. And kind of like knowing that that would be like the way to do it. But I think, I think for my generation, especially like we still grew up with parents that were very much about like college, very much about plan Bs and plan Cs. So I think there was a lot of like stuff that got kind of that I got fed that perhaps wasn't the right thing. But I think I would definitely go back now and just be like, don't worry about your day job, just go all in.
How do you go about balancing artistic expression with commercial appeal when you're writing a song?
Yeah, I think it comes down to like from personal taste. It's definitely like I love songs that are very catchy, that have a great melody, that they stick in your head. And like heroes of mine that I grew up, if it was like someone like a Green Day, or if it was someone like Jeff Buckley. It was always like kind of about the melody and like the way things would stick in your head. So I feel like once you have something like that, like it, that the commercial part takes care of itself, and the rest is kind of like the personal expression of what comes next. I think that's always like an interesting balance to have, because you want to sound authentic and you want to sound like yourself, but you also want it to sound like something that people will be like, I've heard that before, but I don't know where. I think that's one of the best parts of this, is to perhaps capture or write something that you're like, I know I've heard this before, but where, and to have it be yours is a really special feeling.
What would you say is the coolest thing about being a musician?
I feel like the coolest thing about being a musician, I think music is kind of like the closest thing to magic that you can do, because you can change the temperature in the room. You can, someone falls in love to your song, you can send someone a song, it can change their day. There's just so much power that music has, and I think that's the coolest thing about being a musician, is that you're basically like this like magician wizard, and you're just trying to conjure these spells that can hopefully come over the radio and change people's lives and affect them for the better.
How do you maintain authenticity in what is considered to be a very superficial and image-driven industry?
I think it comes down to how you present yourself. I think there's nothing wrong with an artist considering themselves like a brand or having like a that kind of vision of what they do, but then to allow that to carry through the authentic the to carry that through to your music, and I think that's kind of what makes that part authentic. I think there's nothing wrong with perhaps like stealing things from other people and then using them to make them yours, which is kind of what's been done since the beginning of musical time, So I definitely feel that that as long as you're staying true to yourself and like kind of the way you're presenting the music, then that'll take care of the authenticity.
What is your definition of success?
I think it's definitely changed over the years, my definition of success. Before, I probably would have, been like, oh, when I'm on an MTV Cribs or when I'm doing this. But I feel like now, like, success is definitely just being able to live from your music and to find those like 1,000 ultra fans that are going to support you and kind of growing with them and really kind of hopefully making the world a better place through your music.
Now, you and your wife, who is just an absolutely brilliant actress, Alyssa Diaz, she's on one of my favorite shows, The Rookie.
Amazing.
You're both in the entertainment industry. How do you balance? How do you maintain a healthy work-life balance?
it's definitely hard. I think it's all about for us. I think especially with the babies, it's carving out time for ourselves and our art, because art can be such a selfish thing. I think it's definitely like hard when you become a parent, because all of a sudden you're surrounded. You're responsible for these little humans, and they don't really care that you have a Grammy. They don't care that you're on a TV show. Like, it's, you know, so like it takes a lot from you. So you have to kind of find ways to give it back to yourself. So I think, you know, we're really good about giving ourselves time to go, you know, for Alyssa, for example, she needs to take an acting class or she needs to do something. We always try to carve out time to like keep our edges sharp and being kind of supportful of each other in that aspect. So it's been interesting, being a musician and living with an actor is like such a different world. And I think we both, inspire each other, which is nice.
Is there a song that changed your life, be it one of yours or somebody else's?
Yeah, I definitely have like those moments when like, I was trying to think of something recently, but I definitely remember hearing, I was coming back from, I was probably around 10 or 11, and I had been in Mexico for the summer, and I came back from the summer, and I met with my friends, and they're like, have you heard of this band? And they think, I think it was like Pearl Jam. So it was the first album, 10. And they put and he played it for me, and I was like blown away by like what I'd heard coming out of those speakers and the voice and the whole thing. I just remember like that summer, kind of the world still being in black and white and innocent, and then after that, it kind of changed into Technicolor with the arrival of kind of those grunge bands from like Green Day to Offspring. It felt like it was kind of like music that was made for me and for my friends. So it was really interesting. I'd only be like, oh, this is something new and cool, and I can play it on guitar because it's like three chords every song. So it was really cool to do.
Do you consider yourself an artist or an entertainer?
Yeah, I think I definitely consider myself more on the art side. I think there are people that are really good entertainers that can get on stage and just chat up a storm. Like I think they're entertainers that like ride that crest really well, like a John Mayer, for example. I feel like he is really good at entertaining and also, you know, doing these things. And then I think you have like, you know, like a Tom York person who's just a pure artist and doesn't really care about, you know, talking or anything. So I definitely sometimes feel like I'm more in like the Tom York world. I just want to let my music talk for itself. But I also know like it's important to like, you know, to put on a good live show and to bring that energy. Because I really love artists that do that. They kind of transmute what's going on stage into energy, like Bruce Springsteen or Tom Petty, those kind of artists that kind of become very physical with their live performance. Like that's always a goal of mine too, is to kind of like to shift that energy when I'm playing live.
Are you the artist that you thought you'd be when you started out?
I don't feel like I'm a much more versatile artist than I thought I was when I started out. Just from learning different instruments and becoming much more versatile as a producer, I definitely feel like I've become a much more multifaceted artist than I thought I was going to be, which I thought I was just going to be a guitar player and singer and be in a band kind of thing. So I think the interesting thing about these times now is that, you know, as an independent artist, you have to wear so many hats, as from, you know, your own manager to your own designer to your own content creator. So it's definitely like a lot of things that you have to kind of do now that you didn't have to do before. So I really feel like every aspect of it has sharpened my artistry in some way.
So tell the folks listening at home and all over the world where they can get their hands on Between Two Worlds and all of your other works.
Yeah, definitely. So you can stream Two Worlds on Spotify and Apple Music, Amazon Music, anywhere you can stream. You can check me out on my Instagram page at Gustavo_Galindo. And I'll be coming out with some more music and some singles this year. And if anyone has any tips on places to play or venues, I'd be more than happy to come and play for you.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for taking a little bit of time out of your day to talk to me about you and talk to me about your music. I've enjoyed this so much.
Oh, thank you so much. This is a great first interview for the project. So I appreciate your patience and your kindness and for letting me come on and talk my piece.
We'll be back every Wednesday and Thursday with all new episodes of Headliners. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave a review. Headliners is a Your Life the Mixtape Media LLC production, in partnership with Rod Wharton Productions. All rights and trademarks reserved. No portion of this episode may be reproduced commercially without explicit consent.